All right, thank you so much. Let's take our Bibles tonight, please. Open, if you will, to the book of Jeremiah. Brother Unger, we're going to keep on what he started the other night. And so we're going to go to the book of Jeremiah as well. It's a great book in the Bible. And please turn there with me. Jeremiah chapter number 3, please, in your Bible. Jeremiah chapter 3. And we'll be looking at a passage, a verse of Scripture there, and a few other Scriptures in Jeremiah as well. It's good to be here. Good to have each of you here tonight. And, you know, I can't remember. I think the last time I was in a back-to-back meeting, I mean, you know, like where you had one guy preach and right up another guy get up preach, which is going to happen tonight. You know, my son was the one starting it off. And, you know, he came up, he was going to start off the message, start off the service. And so, you know, I was planning to preach, finish it up, but he preached about 2 hours. So I didn't even preach that night, you know, and it was really good. I mean, he really got wound up, and he is quite a preacher. And so I just am bound determined tonight, I'm not going to do that to Brother Strange, okay? Wherever he is, you know, I haven't seen Don Strange in years. He's right down there. Wow, he looks a little bit older than the last time I saw him. You remember that, don't you, brother? Clark's Summit. Yeah, do you remember? That's a long time ago. But he was there, and I was down in Stroudsburg, Pennsylvania. But anyway, it's good to see him. All right, let's look at our Bible, Jeremiah chapter number 3, please, in your Bible tonight. Here's what the Bible says, Jeremiah 3:22. Return, ye backsliding children, and I will heal your backslidings. Behold, we come unto thee, for thou art the Lord our God. Let's bow our heads and hearts in prayer, please. Father, thank you so much for, the Word of God. Thank you so much for what you're doing here in this conference, Lord, the tremendous preaching and a great music, Lord, and the fellowship. I pray, dear Lord, that you would just bless tonight as, again, we open up the Word of God. And Lord, I pray I open our hearts up to thy Word. And, Lord, that we'd let the searchlight of your Holy Spirit deal with us and work inside of us and move us, motivate us, change us, Lord. I pray we won't leave the building the same as we came in. I pray that we will go out, Lord, drawn closer to you, Lord, seeing that there's something that, Lord, you have shown us that we need in our life, even this very night. And we'll thank you and praise you for it all. In Jesus' name and for his sake, amen. You know, disease is growing by leaps and bounds all across the country, all across the world. Disease, Parkinson's, cancer, you know, there's just all kinds of different diseases. Alzheimer's, I mean, I've got some timers a little bit, but Alzheimer's, and you got all these diseases growing, and new diseases developing all the time. It seems like they're appearing on the scene. I mean, coming up with new names for different diseases all the time. And, you know, there's one thing encouraging about that to me, and that is this, you know, we must be close to the coming of the Lord. Because during the tribulation period, there's going to be lots and lots of diseases that will be breaking loose upon the earth that will bring about and cause many, many things, terrible things to happen, death to appear on the world scene as never before. So that is encouraging for those who are saved. It's not encouraging for you if you're not saved. Because, you know, that's what you have to look forward to if you're not saved. But you can get saved and not have to have that. So, but, you know, tonight I'm not going to speak about physical disease. That's not my main purpose. I'm going to talk to you tonight, preach to you tonight about a much more, devastating disease than any, physical disease ever could be. I'm going to talk about the devastating disease of backsliding. Devastating disease. You know, this is a devastating disease. It kills churches. It is that which wrecks and marriages and wrecks homes. It is that which actually ruins lives of young people. It is a disease that hinders lost people from getting saved. It is a devastating disease. And I want you to see tonight how that you can keep this devastating disease of backsliding from getting into your life. You know, there is a great infection in God's people today with this disease. All across the country, this disease is getting into the lives of so many of God's people. And, you know, when I say God's people, I'm talking about preachers. I'm talking about, you know, Christian disciples. I'm talking about all of God's people. So I want you to see how you can keep this disease from getting into your life and devastating your marriage, your home, your church, and your young people and your life as a young person. All right? So there are three things that I want to show to you tonight about this devastating disease. If you're going to keep it out of your life, if I'm going to keep it out of my life, you know, there's three things that we need to know about this devastating disease. Number one, we need to know the cause of it. What causes this disease? Is it something that we are absolutely ignorant? Maybe. Maybe in a lot of cases. A lot of people may be ignorant of what causes disease. So I want us to look and see what causes disease. First of all, let's consider from a negative standpoint what doesn't cause it, all right? First of all, it's not caused by being unsaved. If you're here and you're not saved, you can never get this disease. This disease only for saved people. In Jeremiah chapter number 2, if you will, or chapter 3 rather, it says in verse 14, "Turn, O backsliding children, saith the Lord." Now we know, as we take and apply the New Testament to that verse, that God is speaking about people who are His children. You and I are saved, are the children of God. We've been saved by being born again. Nobody's born a child of God. You have to get saved to become a child of God. And so it's talking here about people who become, who have gotten saved, who become a son of God or a daughter of God. They've gotten out of the family of the devil into the family of God. And now they're a child of God. It goes on to say, "Turn, O backsliding children, saith the Lord, for I am married unto you." Isn't it wonderful? We get saved, we get married to the Lord. You know, we're engaged, really not married yet. But that marriage ceremony is going to take place in the millennial reign. We will be married. We'll have the marriage feast of the Lamb, and then the Lamb, and then the 1,000-year honeymoon. Praise God! That'd be all expenses paid too. Well, that'd be great. I'm looking forward to that. You know, my honeymoon was a week long. It was too short. You know, I loved it. I had been 1,000 years, but well, I'm still on my honeymoon. Praise God! But you know, I tell you something. The Bible says we're married to the Lord. I will take you one of a city, two of a family, and I will bring you to Zion. Speaking about heaven, Zion's a picture of heaven in the Old Testament. So we find that it's talking about people who are saved. Only saved people can get this disease. You say, well, I won't get saved then. I'll never get that disease. You're right. You'll never get that disease, but you got a worse disease. You got the disease of sin. You got the disease of the curse of sin on your soul. And you know, that sin, that disease is much worse than the disease of backsliding ever could be. Because that disease will take you to a place called hell for all eternity. The Bible says here that people who have the disease of backsliding, it's not gonna take away their salvation. The Bible says they'll be in heaven. I will bring you to Zion, he says. So, we know that, these are people, who have been saved. Alright? So, it isn't caused by being unsaved. All right. Secondly, it's not caused by losing your salvation. Backsliding is not, well, you know, I was saved, but now I'm not. I've met some people like that over the years. That, you know, I got saved a number of years ago, but you know, I lost it. Now I'm coming to get saved. Well, you know, they may be coming to get saved, but they never lost it. You can't lose God's salvation. Bible says, "My sheep hear my voice, I know them, I give them eternal life. They shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my Father's hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all. No man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." So you can't lose God's salvation. Backsliding, being a person with the disease of backsliding in your life is not caused by the fact that you've lost your salvation. It's not caused by being an apostate. You know, we got apostates, people who, you know, deny the faith. They you know, they may have professed to know the Lord for a while, but then they deny the faith, you know. There are those who have done that. But that's not what the Bible's talking about here. with this disease of backsliding in you, it's not caused by your becoming an apostate, one who's denied the faith. See? Bible says in 1 John 2:19, they went out from us because they were not of us. For if they'd been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out from us that they might be manifest that they were not all of us. See, I'll tell you something. The one thing that characterizes a true, genuinely born-again person, he continues. She continues. They fall, but boy, they get up and get going again. See? So, it's not an apostate. It's not caused by being apostate, this disease. It's not caused by going out in the depths of sin. It's not caused by, oh, just going out there and living the old sin life and all that kind of stuff. It may lead to that. It can lead to that. You know, there's no sin you couldn't commit as a born-again Christian. You know, I tell you, I've heard of unusual things. People are saved, going out and doing awful things. It can lead to that. This disease is that devastating. It can lead you down that path. It can lead you down that path. To leave your husband, to have an affair, fornicate, do other kinds of horrible sins. It can lead to that. There's no sin you couldn't commit as a Christian. You got that old nature, so do I. There's not a sin we couldn't commit. Say. So it's not caused by those things. Well, you say, well, preacher, what causes this disease of backsliding then? Glad you asked the question. Let me tell you what it is. It's caused by a born-again Christian stopping doing what he knows he ought to do. That's what causes it. When a born-again child of God stops doing what he knows he ought to do from the Bible, what she knows she ought to do from the Bible, what she's been taught, what he's been taught, what he's seen in the Word of God, it's stopping doing what you know you ought to do. It's giving up the ground of occupying the ground of doing what God wants you to do. Of following through and obeying what God says to do. That's what causes disease. You know, if you go to the book of James, for instance, in James, just keep your fingers, Jeremiah will be right back there. But in the book of James, you know, the Bible says there's some people that are deceived. In verse number 22 of James chapter 1. But be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Who are these people who are deceived? They are people who are telling themselves a lie. They're telling themselves a lie. What is the lie that they're telling themselves? They're telling themselves that they're spiritual, that they're right with God. But they're not. They deceive themselves. Why? Because they're hearers only. In other words, they know what to do. They've heard what to do. But you know what? They stop doing what they know they ought to do. They've moved away from doing that, say, from doing what they know they ought to do. So a person who's got the disease of backsliding is someone who's stopped doing what he knows or she knows they ought to do from the Word of God. Read their Bible, pray, soul winning, coming to church regularly, family altar, being a submitted wife, honoring their parents. Stop doing what they know they ought to do. Say, maybe they've gotten around a culture of Christians who say, hey, you know what? It's okay to go to movies. And because they're hanging around this kind of Christians out there, that, you know, there are a lot of soft Christians out there, folks. There are a lot of soft Christians out there, and they can sound spiritual. You know, they can really sound spiritual, like they really love the Lord. And the gullible Christian will say, you know what? They really love the Lord. You know? And, you know, they think it's all right for movies. They think it's all right for social drinking. They think it's all right to, you know, dress immodestly. They think it's all right to look like the world. And they stop doing what they know the Bible says they ought to do. Say, because they get plugged in the culture. The culture of modern Christianity out there that's soft and doesn't want hard preaching and is soft on standards and so forth. So they stop doing what they know they ought to do. That's what gets the disease of backsliding started in your life. When you stop doing what you know you ought to do, that's when you get infected with the disease of backsliding. It starts getting into your soul and it begins to spread. Begins to spread. I remember one time I was in a meeting, a revival meeting in Pennsylvania, and a man came forward. He wanted to talk to me. And he was weeping. And so I went to the back room with him and we prayed. And I said, sir, I don't know what the problem is, but there's a Lord in heaven who will be merciful and forgive you. I quoted 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins. And I went through all that. And he said, oh, Brother Gilmer, he said, I've taken care of my sin. But he said, he was saying this over and over again as I was there in that room. He said, I can't believe I did it. 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 And I didn't know what it was. He did. But then he told me, he said, Brother Gilmore, he said, I'd walk in the store, there'd be pornography there. He said, I knew it was rotten and wicked and defiling. He'd walk in that store, but he'd walk right by it. He wouldn't touch it. But he said, one day, preacher, I can't believe it. I can't believe I did it. But one day, I stopped right in front of that magazine rack. He said, I reached out and I got a hold of that filthy magazine. He said, I opened up. And he said, I knew right away that I had defiled my soul. He said, all of a sudden there was a filthiness came all over him. He said, I said, oh God, please forgive me. And he said, oh God did forgive me. But he said, preacher, the thing that really bothered me, he says, is that that picture keeps coming back in my mind. And it just pops up every once in a while. And he says, what can I do to get rid of it? What can I do to stop that filthy picture from coming to mind? I said, sir, there's only one way that I know of. And that is you got to get in this book and start washing your mind and washing your conscience, reading this book, memorize this book, obeying this book, hearing this book, wherever you get a chance, because the Word of God is the only thing I know that can cleanse a mind that's been defiled. And then I said to him, I said, sir, you know, I'm just as human as you. This could happen to me as well as you. Could you help me? How'd this ever happen? And he said, without batting an eye, he said, preacher, I stopped reading my Bible every day. You see, that's how you get the disease of backsliding. You stop doing something that you know you ought to do. You know it from the Bible. You ought to do it. You know it from preaching and teaching that you hear that you ought to do it. And you stop doing it. Or you just throw it out and you just, I don't want anything to do with it. You turn away from it. All right? Secondly, if you and I are going to keep this disease of backsliding and get in our life, you know, in these days, just prior to our Savior's coming, we need to, number one, know the cause of it. It's caused by stopping doing what we know we ought to do from the Word of God. James 4:17 says, if any man know to do aright and doeth not, to him it is what? Sin. See? So it's stopping doing what we know we ought to do. But secondly, we need to know something else about this disease of backsliding to keep it from getting into our life. And that is, we need to know the consequences that come from it. What are the consequences that come from this disease of backsliding getting in your life? You know, if I was to tell you tonight that I knew how to keep you from ever getting the disease of cancer, and it wasn't cost you a cent, would you be interested? You know, I think most people would be. You know why? Because that's a fearful disease. That's a fearful disease to get. Nobody. You know, I mean, that word cancer, it just puts fear in her. You know? I never forget when the doctor said my wife had cancer. Man, I just, whew. You know? That was 21 years ago. Praise God, she's still here. God was good. Answered prayer. And a lot of other things that he used. But you know, that's a fearful thing, cancer. Listen, it's a fearful thing for you to let your soul get infected with the disease of backsliding. It's a fearful thing. Now I want you to see why it ought to be something you fear. You fear this disease getting in your life. You fear stopping doing what you know you ought to do, because that's what infects your soul with the disease of backsliding. Number one, first of all, because it's wickedness. It results in being wicked. Take your Bible to Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 19. Thine own wickedness shall correct thee. Notice what he says there. And thy backsliding shall reprove thee. Thine own wickedness shall correct thee. God is saying that it's wickedness. It's wickedness. You know, if we're ever going to have revival in our church, we got to get back to realizing that wickedness is just not doing a bunch of things wrong. It's not doing what we ought to do. That's wickedness. See, we need to get back to looking at wickedness the way God looks at it. Wickedness is not just doing that which is wrong. It's not doing what's right.
to do. It's wickedness when you know you ought to be baptized not to get baptized. It's wickedness when you know you ought to read your Bible daily, you don't do it. It's wickedness. It's wickedness when you know you ought to be telling others of Christ and you don't do it. It's wickedness. God says wickedness is not doing what we know we ought to do. In Matthew chapter 25, the Bible tells us about a man who had 5 talents. He got those 5 talents and he went out and he knew what to do with those 5 talents. And when the Lord came back, he had gotten more than 5 talents. And the Lord said, blessed art thou. You're going to rule and you're going to have much joy. And well done. And then there was a guy who got 2 talents. And he did the same thing. He knew what to do with those 2 talents. He went out and did what he knew he was supposed to do with those 2 talents. He multiplied it. And you know what? The Lord came back and said, hey, that's great. Well done. And he said, enter thou the joy of thy Lord. And then there was a guy who got 1 talent. He said, you know, it's not that important. It's not that important. I don't use my talent. I know what I ought to do with it, but I'm not going to do what I know ought to do with it. I just 1 talent, just 1 thing I'm not going to do that I know ought to do. And I'm just going to lay it aside. I'm going to invest it in the world. I'm not going to do what God wants me to do with it. And the Lord came back and what did he say? He said, thou wicked, slothful servant. Now, what did that guy do? Did he go out and fornicate? Did he go out and murder somebody? Did he go out and do some great sin? No, he just didn't do what he's supposed to do with what he had been given. And he didn't do what he knew he was supposed to do with it. See, it's wickedness, folks. I don't know about you, but I know one thing. There's 1 degree I'd like to get above all others. I've got a degree from college. I've got a degree from high school. I got a degree from seminary. And I'm not saying that to boast in any way. I got an honorary degree, a DD, a number of years ago. That means doubly dangerous, you know. Everybody's got a DD, doubly dangerous, you know. I'd throw all those degrees out that window there because there's 1 degree that I want all above every else, and that is the WD degree. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You want to get that WD? It's doing what you know you ought to do. That's how you get it. Just faithfully doing what God has shown you from His Word and what you know you ought to do, just doing it faithfully, and that's how you get that WD. The fearful thing about this matter of the disease of backsliding is that it's wickedness. Secondly, it not only results in being wicked, but it also results in more sin. It results in more sin. Now, the sin of not doing what you know you ought to do is a sin of omission. There are 2 kinds of sins in the Bible. There's omission. You omit from your life things that God wants you to do, or that you know you ought to do. Or there's the sins of commission. You know, you go out and do contrary to what God wants you to do. Now, the sin of omission is that which begins the disease of backsliding in your life. It's not going out and commit a bunch of sins, of commission. No, it's omitting. You know, it's sins of omission that starts that disease of backsliding in our life. And as a result of that disease of backsliding getting started, if it doesn't get straightened around and get turned around, it's going to lead to sins of commission. For instance, David. You remember the story of David? Here's the great man of God. David was a man of faith. He went out against a 9-foot-2 Goliath. I don't know. I've got that much faith. Amen. You know, I might go up against a 9-foot-2 Goliath if I had a bazooka and a few grenades or something like that. But you know, here's old David. He's got, you know, he's going up against this 9-foot-2, a man of faith and a man of love and devotion. You read the book of Psalms, how he loved the Lord. He was devoted to the Lord. And yet, here's a man that went out and committed a horrible sin with Bathsheba. Now, how'd that ever happen? It started with the disease of backsliding getting into David's life. He stopped doing what he knew he was supposed to do as the king. He was to lead the people in battle, but he got lazy. And he said, I'm going to stay at home. You know, I'm not going to get out there. I'm weary. I'm tired. I'm just going to stay at home. I'm just going to relax. I'm not going to get out there and fight and lead the people in battle. And you remember how he stayed at home and he walked out and he saw Bathsheba as she was bathing and he lusted after her and he committed that horrible sin. man, this man of faith, this man of great love for the Lord. How did it happen? You know how it happened? He got the disease of backsliding in his life. He stopped doing what he knew he ought to do. You ought to fear that disease. Listen, you ought to fear one thing in your life that you know that you ought to do and you're not doing. You ought to fear letting it stay that way. You ought to fear. Because, listen, sin doesn't stay small. It continues to grow, no matter if it's sin's a commission or sin's omission. Sin doesn't stay small, it spreads. It's like the Mississippi River. You know, you can go up the headwaters of the Mississippi River, and man, you can take one little step across. But you know, as you follow the Mississippi River down, it gains in size. And you get down to where it dumps into the Gulf of Mexico, and you can't even see across. Sin doesn't stay little. It grows and spreads. And the disease of backsliding doesn't stay just in one little cell in your spiritual soul. If it is allowed to stay there, it spreads. Here's another reason why it's a fearful thing to have the disease of backsliding in your life. Get that disease in your life. That is because the devil wins the victory. In Jeremiah chapter number... By the way, my verse for the matter of the sin leading to more sin was Jeremiah chapter 3 and verse 13. Only acknowledge that iniquity thou hast transgressed the Lord thy God and hast scattered thy ways as strangers of every green tree. So it spreads. It leads to more sin. And then the devil gets a victory. Verse 7. The lion has come up from his thicket of Jeremiah 4, reading Jeremiah 4, verse 7. The lion has come up. Now, Brother Unger mentioned that this is referring to Babylon, and I believe that. But I think there's another lion in the Scripture, and he's called the devil. And the lion of the devil is after you. He wants to devour your testimony. He wants to devour the power of God in your life, and he wants you to get the disease of backsliding in your life. See, he's out to do that. He's out to get you to stop doing what you know you ought to do. This lion, I think, not only refers to Babylon, but it refers to Satan and how he wants to get the victory in your life, in your home, in your church. He wants to render you a powerless Christian. And he wants to take away that power and blessing of God in your life. You know, I don't know about you, but I'm sure going to be glad when the old devil's thrown in the pit. Amen? One of these days, the old devil's going to be thrown in that pit. Praise God, I'm saved. And, you know, I'm going to be standing right there. Maybe I trust the Lord will let me see that happening. And if he lets me see that happening, you know what? And that old Satan's thrown in that pit and the lid's put on there. I'm going to say, Lord, do you mind if I go over and jump up and down on the lid a little bit? And I don't think he's going to mind. And I'm going to go over and I'm going to jump up and down on that old lid and say, praise God, the devil's in the pit. Pastor says it's a little hot in here. Some of you are starting to sleep. I think it is a little hot. Thought it'd wake you up a little bit. Now, don't do that if you're eating a bunch of white Castle sliders all the time, all right? I mean, us 71-year-old guys that stay away from those things, we can do that. Oh, folks, let me tell you something. It's like old Billy Sunday said years ago, a great evangelist said, as long as the devil's loose, and he said, I got a foot, he said, I'm going to kick him. And he says, as long as the devil's loose and I've got a fist, I'm going to slug him. He says, as long as the devil's loose and I've got some teeth, I'm going to bite him. And he says, as long as the devil's loose and even if I lose my teeth, he said, I'm going to gum him. You know something? We need some Christians who are going to say, you know, devil, you're not going to get me to stop doing what I know God wants me to do. He wants you to stop driving that bus. He wants you to stop working on that bus route. He wants you to stop giving out tracts. He wants you to stop doing what you know you ought to do, having that family altar, Dad. He wants you to stop living a separate and holy godly life. He wants you to begin to conform to the culture of this world. He wants you to get back to the old music of the world and stop listening to godly music. See, the devil wants you and I to stop doing what we know we ought to do. Our problem in Christianity is not that we don't know, it's that we don't do what we know we know. Oh, how we need a revival of getting back to doing what we know we ought to do. And our churches will become alive and powerful for God again. Too many of God's people are sitting around stopping doing what they once knew they should do. Oh, listen, folks, the devil wants you to get infected with the disease of backsliding. Lastly, you ought to fear because it withholds, it results in withheld blessings from God. Look at your Bible, Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 3. He says, therefore the showers have been withholden. There have been no latter rain. God says, okay, I'll turn the water spigots off. You won't have the blessing of God in your life. You know, in Jeremiah chapter 5 and verse number 25, he says, your iniquities have turned away these things and your sins are withholding good things from you. Pastor preached this morning, God wants to bless our lives. God is in the blessing business. But you know what? We got to get back underneath the spout where the blessings come out. We're going to have those blessings. We got to get back to doing what we know we ought to do. Then God's going to turn on the spigot again. The blessings. I remember one time I was greatly tempted to stop doing what I knew I was supposed to do in this particular area. And that was to tithe to my local church. I was greatly tempted. Now here's the reason. My wife and I had been pulling a trailer when we first started Evangelism. We had a pull trailer. But our kids were growing. We had four kids. We had to get a little bit bigger trailer. I mean, they were about ready to knock the walls out of that trailer, those teenage boys of mine. And so we, a fifth wheel, you know, it's a bigger trailer and it's got more room. And so we went and got us a fifth wheel trailer. Believe it or not, we got that trailer brand new, $7,000 back in 1978. You couldn't touch that trailer for that amount of money these days. But we got a brand new trailer. And you know what? I plumb forgot about it. To have a fifth wheel, you got to have a different kind of vehicle to pull it. I mean, I had this Suburban, and the Suburban's not going to carry a fifth wheel trailer. And so I thought, where are we going to get the money for this fifth wheel, for this Suburban, for this this truck that we're going to need, this vehicle to pull this fifth wheel? We're going to get the money. I mean, we spent money for the trailer, and I thought, where are we going to get it? And you know, I had read the story of George Mueller, and it challenged my life. And you know, George Mueller had this orphanage, and he's fed all these orphans without ever sending out a letter begging for money or asking for money. He just told God, didn't tell anybody else. I was challenged by that. And my wife and I, we were both challenged and said, honey, let's just tell the Lord about this. Let's prove that the God that George Mueller served and had meet his needs is the same God that we serve, and he can meet our needs too. You know, God loves to be put to test. He loves you to step out by faith. Just test it. Trust him. And so we decided to do that. I look back on that. It's kind of scary to think about it now. But you know, I don't want to ever get to a place where I'm not willing to do something a little radical once in a while for the Lord. And I just, that was, you know, we're just trusting God. We didn't tell anybody. We stopped in our home church in Indiana. At that time, we had a new pastor. I didn't know him. He didn't know me. And we were just there for one day. And I stopped in there, and he said to me after service, he said, you know, we don't know each other. Let's go out to have a little bite to eat. And I'm always excited about that, especially when someone's going to pay for it other than me. And he said he's going to take care of it. So I was all through. We went to Bill Knapp's restaurant there. And, you know, we sat down. We had a wonderful time. And then, he asked me this question. I'll never forget. He said, Brother Gilmore, he said, the Lord's been burdening my heart that you might have a particular need. I looked at my wife, and she looked at me, and her eyes got big as saucers. We didn't tell him. My wife didn't tell him. I didn't tell him. It was God laying on his heart a need that we had. And he said, we'd like to help you. I said, well, that'd be great, you know. And he said, I'm going to take the deacon, take the church, we'll see what we can do. And so we went on to our next meeting. I got a phone call the next week, and on the other end of the phone was my pastor. And he said, Brother Gilmore, he said, you know, we took the church, we're going to help you. And I thought, well, maybe $500 towards that truck. Man, that'd be a great blessing, you know. That'd be a blessing. I'll never forget what he said. He said, we're going to buy the whole truck for you. When I came to, I said, what'd you say? Tell me that again. I like the sound of it. Got that whole brand new truck. And you know what? I thought to myself, what if I had stopped doing? You know, I was going to take that tithe and apply it to the truck. I was rationalizing and say, well, you know, I'm in the ministry. Yeah, I'm going to use that money to, you know, preach the gospel, get the gospel around the country and stuff. And I was rationalizing. My disobedience my stopping doing what I knew I was to do. I was rationalizing it. And I'm so glad I said, no, I'm not going to do that. Before that ever happened. I mean, that temptation was there before I ever talked to my pastor, before he ever mentioned it. That temptation was there. And I said, no, Lord, I know that's not what I ought to do. I know that's not what your word says, Lord. I'm going to put you first. I'm going to tithe. The tithe belongs to my local church. And God, you're going to take care of that need. And he did it. Oh, I tell you what, folks. It's a fearful thing to get that disease in your life. Disease of backsliding, it robs you of so many blessings. God's Bible says in Proverbs 28:20, the faithful man abounds with blessings. I mean, you just keep doing what you know you ought to do. Don't stop. Don't back away. Just because your husband quits, just because your wife, just because your friend, just because your relative, they back away. Don't you? God wants to bless your life. I don't know about you, but folks, I want God's blessings that he has for me. I don't want someone else to get my blessings. God's got so many blessings up there. He's going to give them to someone. And you know what? He wants to give them to you. But you know what? You got to keep the disease of backsliding out of your life. You got to keep it out. The third thing, if you're going to not be infected by this disease of backsliding, number one, you need to know the cause of it. Number two, you need to know the consequences that come from it. Number three, you need to know the cure of it. Because there may come a time in your life when you will stop doing what you know you ought to do. I'm talking to people maybe in this building, the size of a crowd of people, great crowd of people. There's probably someone in here that stopped doing what you know you ought to do. And the Spirit of God is talking to you about it. Is there a cure for it? Well, you know, I'm glad this is a book of cures. Amen? This is a book that doesn't tell us what's wrong with us and then says, see you on your way. It's a book that tells you what's wrong, but it tells us how we get what's wrong right. That's why I love the Bible. Because I tell you what, it shows me how to get straightened around. Start going down the right road. Oh, I love this book. And you know something? There's a cure. There's a cure for the sin disease if you're here without Jesus Christ. That's the worst disease you ever have. We're all born with that, by the way. But praise God for Calvary. Praise God for the blood of Jesus that was shed at Calvary. And I tell you, one day as a 6-year-old teenager, I came to Jesus and I looked to Calvary and what he did on that cross for me, and he took care of that sin disease I was born with, and he's cured that disease. And praise God, that disease could never take me to hell. And dear friend, there's a cure for the sin disease. Praise God, it's the blood of Jesus Christ. But not only is there a cure for the sin disease that lost people, all lost people have, but you know, there's a cure for the disease of backsliding. What is the cure? It's twofold. Number one, it's an action. What's the action? Look in your Bible to Jeremiah and chapter number 3, if you will, verse 12. He says, go proclaim these words toward the north and say, return. Underline that word. Circle it in your Bible. And then verse 14, turn, O backsliding children. And then if you look at chapter number 4, verse number 1, if thou wilt return, O Israel. Our text for the night, verse 22 of chapter number 3, return, ye backsliding children. So what's the cure? Return. Go back. Get going for God. Get back to doing what you know you ought to do. That's the cure. You know, when Vince Lombardi, the great Green Bay Packer, I maybe shouldn't mention that here, but the great Green Bay Packer coach, you know, when he was losing and their teams were losing and they just weren't winning, you know what he'd do? He'd say, guys, we need to get back to basics. We got to get back to the basics of blocking and tackling. And man, they got back to basics and they started winning again. Folks, listen, some of you have gotten away from the basics. You need to get back to start doing what God wants you to do and quit leaving things out of your life that you know you ought to do. Just get back to the basics. And I'll tell you something. You'll start winning in your prayer life. You'll start winning in your soul winning life. You'll start winning in your family life because you're back to doing what God wants you to do as a dad, as a husband, as a wife, as a mother. You're back to doing as a church member what you know you ought to do. This church will start winning like never before. Battles. That in our flesh we can't win. But when we're lined up to doing what God wants us to do, and we're united around that, the devil doesn't have a chance. Oh, how we need
to get back to doing what we know we ought to do. Secondly, it takes an acknowledgement. Look at verse 13, only of Jeremiah 3, only acknowledge thine iniquity. In other words, you have got, and this is the toughest thing about the cure, and that is, you've got to be willing to say, Lord, I have sinned. I have said, this is sin in my life. Stopping doing what I know is sin. James 4:17, if any man know to do good and doeth it not, to him is sin. You've got to be willing to acknowledge that it is sin. And you know what? That will bring the cure to the disease in your life that you come into the building tonight infected with. It cures it when you say, okay, Lord, I know what I'm not doing. I'm going to get back. And Lord, it's sin. Would you please forgive me? Thank God for 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. One of my dear friends, Dr. Jim Mercer, is an evangelist for many years. You know, he's with the Lord now. But he tells how he got saved. He was saved down in a little town called Hotsford, Florida. And Jim Mercer tells how it happened. He said, you know, there was a man in a Baptist church there in town that was not doing what he knew he ought to do. And in a revival meeting, God spoke to his heart, convicted him of the sins of omission in his life. And he came forward and he said, Lord, I'm repenting. I'm getting back to doing what you want me to do. Well, he got going for God. And, you know, he began to pray for an individual to get saved, that he was going to just keep praying for that guy, just going to keep praying. And he would talk to that fellow regularly. Well, finally, that guy got saved. And this thing progressed down a number of months and a number of I don't know how many years, but it just progressed. And there was 25 men that had come to know the Lord as a result of their deciding that, you know, as men would get saved, they would get together and say, now listen, let's make a covenant together. Let's pray for someone to get saved, the two of us. Let's pray for someone to get saved by name. Let's come together. We'll do it once a week. And we'll also pray individually for that person gets saved, and then we'll go and witness that person, the two of us, you know. And, of course, it spread to three, and then it got up to 25. There's 25 men who were meeting, and they got together after the 25th guy got saved and said, now, look, who shall we begin to work on now? And so the name Jim Mercer came up. They knew Jim Mercer. They knew he's lost in the world in sin. And so they began to pray for Jim Mercer. They'd meet once a week. And those 25 men would just pray and say, God save Jim Mercer. And they'd name his name. Oh, God, don't let Jim Mercer go to hell. And then during the week, they'd all pray for Jim Mercer. They covenanted together. They were going to all pray every day for Jim Mercer to get saved. And then they also covenanted together. They were going to put teeth in their prayers, and they were going to go and talk to Jim Mercer. Now, what would you do if you had 25 men come by your place every week of the world and talk to you about getting saved? You know, you need to get saved or move out of town, right? Well, Jim Mercer, he said, I'm going to get saved. I'm moving out of here. And so he got out on a road, a two-lane road that was going out of Hotsford, Florida, started heading for Alabama. And, you know, he's running from the prayers, these guys. He's running from the witnessing, these guys. And he's got a ride in the back end of this little old jalopy. And there's a guy coming by. As he's going this way, this fellow in another vehicle is going this way. And the fellow that's driving the vehicle going the opposite way that he's going, he's smoking a cigarette, and he flips the cigarette out, just he's through with it, it's still burning though, and Jim Mercer's car that he's in goes right by at that very time, and that cigarette butt, he said, landed in my coat collar. He said, I didn't know it was there for a while, but he said, all of a sudden, I smelled something burning. And it was his coat on fire. He took that coat off, and all of a sudden, he said, I'm going to hell. I'm going to burn in hell forever. I don't want to do that. And he told the guy that was driving, he got a hitchhike with this guy driving the car. He said, listen, stop this vehicle. And he got out, he got on the other side of the highway, and started hitchhiking back to Hartford, Florida. He got a ride. And he went back to Hartford, Florida. He knew where that prayer meeting was taking place. He went in, he broke up the prayer meeting. He said, guys, quit your praying. I'm ready to get saved. I don't want to go to hell. And you know what Jim Mercer said?
over 65% of that little town of Huntsford, Florida, came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. All because of one man who said, you know what? I've got the disease of backsliding. I've stopped doing what I know. And I got to get back to it. I wonder what would happen in Fairhaven Baptist Church if we would have some people that get back to doing what they know they ought to do. I wonder what God would do Sunday morning. I wonder what God would do weeks down the road in your spring campaign. I wonder what God would do in your church where you go to church. If you go home from this conference saying, you know what, I dealt with a disease of backsliding in my life. I got back. I'm going to get back to doing what I know how to do, Pastor. I've not been going out soul winning. I'm getting back to doing it. I've not been as faithful in my family. I'm going to get back, Mom and Dad. I'm going to get back, kids. I've not been leading my family the way I just need to get back, and I'm getting back. Oh, I wonder the tremendous impact that could make upon your children and your church and your family and your home. Folks, we need to make sure that this disease of backsliding stays out of our life. And to make sure of that, we got to know what it is. I've showed you what it is tonight. I pray that God will give you a commitment to keep this disease from raising its ugly head in your life and robbing you of the blessings that God wants to pour out upon us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word. I pray the Holy Spirit would take these great truths tonight. And Lord, I pray you'll help us to